Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ahead to Watkins for USC, and she grabs her left knee.
The Rich Eisen Show.
How great is Danny Hurley's UConn team?
For that call to be made at that point in the game was a complete joke.
Tone it down, bro.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, CBS Sports college basketball reporter Seth Davis. Coming up, host of Pablo Torre Finds Out. Pablo Torre, two-time major champion Xander Schauffele, four-time Olympic champion Michael Johnson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Normally, in between hours one and two, if we've got an in-studio guest in hour two, I'll go on the back and welcome our guest. But Rich Eisen found out that I think Pablo Torre's finding out how to get here. So Pablo's making his way to our studio right now. He's going to hopefully be sitting here in this chair in 20 minutes' time. The host of Pablo Torre's finds out.
Pablo, honey.
What did Hank call it once? The city of off-ramps?
What? El Segundo? El Segundo, the city of off-ramps.
I mean,
Pablo, a lot of off-ramps.
I don't know. I think there's a new podcast called Pablo Torre Uses Ways.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there might
needs ways.
Yeah. You guys probably don't know. On Sepulveda this morning, I forgot there was a truck that tipped over.
Oh, well, that's probably affecting things.
Does he drive behind the airport, too?
Listen, bro.
So it is.
The fact that I drove behind the airport is the reason I got here and missed the truck flip over.
Okay, good.
Okay. Had I come in front of the airport, a different story.
It's a great shortcut.
I don't know why I find that so funny when you're like, yeah, I was driving behind the airport.
It does. That's
because
where it goes.
It's the best way for me to describe to somebody where I live.
It's like, so I'm driving behind the airport. It's just, I don't know why that makes... It's like on one end, really creepy. It sounds really creepy.
Why is that creepy?
I don't know
about it.
And then on the good end, it sounds like he's shooting another version of the ending of Heat, you know, with LAX.
That's this side, though.
Mike,
that's the front end of the airport.
So De Niro's driving behind the airport. At any rate, some planes flying overhead, and then,
You know my favorite part of this is one day Rich had to go to Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, and I was behind the airport.
And I followed him the whole way behind the airport.
It's a way to get there, is what
exactly.
I'm saying.
You guys.
It wasn't creepy at all.
Plus, I get to see the ocean. Like, why wouldn't I go behind the airport?
Guys, Michael Johnson's coming in. I'm going to show him photographs of me running as a 55-year-old.
Do we want to do that?
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, he was part of your training once, even though you said don't bring it up.
Well, no, I bring it up. He doesn't want it brought up, I'm
How
sure.
How do you know?
Because it doesn't reflect well on him.
Look, Mike.
The number of people I have thoroughly embarrassed, Otto Bolden, I embarrassed him. He tried to train me 1 year. Brandon Marshall trained me 1 year. I embarrassed him.
Look, Rich, it was 75 degrees. And you were running in a full suit. Like, come on.
Go run another 40 in your suit.
And I did. Zolak, back off. Speaking of Zolak, perfect. Because let's talk New England Patriots, and that's let's do it, because I just asked this question of you, Chris Brockman, as we mock you like a hurricane here.
Here I am.
We have a latest mock draft, and it's from Pete Prisco of CBS.
Mock, yeah.
It's time to mock you like a hurricane.
Wow. Okay.
I got to say, Mike,
drop.
That was better the second time I heard it. We played it earlier, and it was like, okay. But that was when the second time was so much better.
It gets better each time.
It does get better each time. The video helps. And you know what? I think the first time I didn't hear the Dumb and Dumber start, I didn't hear that. And so
very good. Well, at any rate, I'm wondering, would you say dumb or dumber if Pete Prisco is correct in his top 10 of his mock, which this is all we'll show you because this is the food for thought, Christopher. Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders. We've seen that in many mocks, right? Titans, Cleveland, Giants, if they don't move and they pick and they stick and they pick, Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders, we've seen that. But then usually what follows is Travis Hunter goes to the Patriots, and he thinks the Patriots would take Will Campbell, the tackle out of LSU, and not take Travis Hunter. And then the Jaguars would say, thank you. And then the Raiders go take Ashton Gentry like everybody thinks. And then the Jets would be able to take my Wolverine, Mason Graham, and stick him directly next to Quinnen Williams and say, okay, try and run through that, everybody. That would make me very happy. I wonder how it would make you, Chris. What if the Patriots have... this is the first mock where I've seen in a long time where the Patriots have Travis Hunter sitting there.
And then
they don't take him and they say to you, hey, trust us, we need to protect Drake May, which you would understand.
Sure.
But the best way... remember we had this conversation a couple of years ago when Burrow had been drafted, and it was Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell.
Correct.
And there was a meme of, you know, wide receiver wide open Ja'Marr Chase, but Burrow's down on the ground because they took the wide receiver and the tackle. And then the other one was Burrow's standing up because Penei Sewell's protecting him, but there's no one down the field.
Yeah. I think I still have that somewhere.
It was funny. Right? I feel like the Nathan Fillion GIF where I'm just like,
what was that again? Interesting GIF.
Hey man, Will Campbell's probably going to be good. The arm length thing has people kind of in their feelings, but I don't want him fourth overall. He'd be great 8 or 9, you know, if the Patriots trade down. But if if Travis Hunter's not there. If he is there and they pass on him, that would be one of the most devastating draft day things since the Pats traded with the Cowboys for the Dez Bryant pick. I was all excited about Dez being a Patriot and then trade with Dallas and they take him.
Yeah, I appreciate
and Dez
that.
Was awesome. That would be an insane bummer to not have Travis Hunter with him right there at number 4.
Mm. I think that would
when you need a number one receiver, and every person we talk to, Todd McShay all the way down, think Travis is the number one wide receiver in this class, the best at contested ball catches. Like, the dude is an absolute monster on both sides. Like, how do they pass on this dude? And I get that Vrabel smash mouth, build the offensive, obviously built the defensive line in free agency, and now, you know, you got to fill some gaps in the offensive line, but you can do that in the second and third rounds. There's only so many top 5 talents, maybe number 1 player in the draft talents. And if he's there at 4, like we said yesterday, 1 minute to see who calls, minute 2, turn in the card.
End of story. Because you're getting Drake May, the weapon that allows him to become the transformational quarterback that you believe and a lot of people believe he can be. And Josh McDaniels would be able to scheme things up. Now, obviously, protecting him is paramount.
Correct.
But I can't imagine, because you don't just get the best wide receiver in the draft for your guy. You get a guy that if fourth quarter's hitting and you need a stop, you put him out there too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, let's just say you're going against the Dolphins, right? And you need a stop of Tyreek Hill. You could take your best wide receiver and say, go play defense. Why don't you do that?
Hey, let's shut down. Go shut down Tyreek Hill over there.
That's just
and he will do it.
Right. And then figure out how to protect your quarterback another day, another pick, another situation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Second round pick, 2 third round picks. You have the top 100 capital to take care of the offensive line issues. and have a camp battle and figure out who's best.
Gosh,
on the
I would want a GoPro on every New Englander if that happens.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, I'll be recording my reaction to the fourth overall pick live from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay, because that's what we'll be for us for our show. Just throwing that scenario out there for you. While we're on the subject of the Patriots, Tom Brady, or is he substacking? Is that what's happening?
He's newslettering.
He's newslettering.
I saw that.
Hey, everybody needs to write stuff down and put their thoughts out and make sure that you provide your email information for future endeavors. I didn't know he was doing this. TomBrady.com. And he posted my thoughts on free agency. Interesting, my is capitalized, M-Y.
Okay.
And it starts with reflection. Second paragraph, because he was talking about he was only involved in free agency once at the tail end of his career. And he wrote, "For me, it was a creeping decision that lived passively in the back of mind for 2 to 3 years until March of 2020. When a whirlwind of a few days made me realize that a decision was coming sooner rather than later, the reality was after 20 years together, a natural tension had developed between where Coach Belichick and I were headed in our careers and where the Patriots were moving as a franchise. It was the kind of tension that could only be resolved by some kind of split or one of us reassessing our priorities." And that's in his weekly newsletter, 199 on TomBrady.com. Hmm. And, you know, listen, we all know the tension, whatever, and that hatchet has been buried multiple times, whether it was in the post-game locker room conversation. Remember when Brady came back as a Buck in Mac Jones's first year, where it was damn close?
Close game.
Yeah, right. The Patriots almost won that one.
Was that week four?
And then, Brady and Belichick met after the game privately. And then we all know the Brady roast has let every bygone be bygone because quite frankly, turned the forum here in Los Angeles that night on Netflix into a therapy session for everyone to see. Everyone we've had on talking about that has fully admitted it felt that way.
Yeah, it was great.
From Bledsoe to Gronk to Edelman, like, absolutely. It got everything all out of their systems in advance of Brady's jersey retirement ceremony in Foxborough a few weeks later, where it was one big love fest. So, and we all understand, you know, the reason why it was passive. We've heard it as well. Brady's contract wasn't being redone to his liking, and the hometown discount years were over. It made complete sense for him to break up. But the reason why we bring this up is for the next paragraph. He said that when Tampa Bay came into the picture as a serious option for him, he asked himself, as someone headed into their 40s with school-age kids and 20 years worth of battle scars, what truly mattered? And he wound up with a list of about, as he said, 20 things that I then ranked on a graded scale from 1 to 3. Hmm. Now, the difference between him and Aaron Rodgers, as Rodgers is going through his first free agency of his career in life, that... Number one, he's already 40. Two, he doesn't have school-age kids. But he does have 20 years worth of battle scars. Okay? And so what I'd like to do is throw this out 1 to 3. You grade it between the Giants and the Steelers. So let's try and use the Brady system for Rodgers.
For Rodgers. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And so this is what he said he did between Tampa and New England. And it was done when he saw this on a piece of paper. The presence of skilled players was a 3 in terms of importance. He said, for example, the Bucs graded out as a 3 because of Evans and Godwin.
Big time.
Okay. And I'm imagining he said this has been Tampa and New England. But he doesn't say that. You know, the Chargers were also an option for him back then.
Yeah, Raiders, Titans were a lot of...
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you grade the Steelers and the Giants in terms of skilled players? 1, 2, or 3? TJ, you chime in as well.
Okay.
DK Metcalf is there. George Pickens is there. Running back, we don't know.
Yeah, Freiermuth, Jalen Warren's still there. Maybe they take one in the draft. I would say the Steelers.
There are 2?
High end wide receiver talent.
Then you got the Giants. So then I'll put them as a two.
Yeah, I don't want to give anyone a one. I would say Steelers three, Giants two.
You really think so? The Giants have got Malik Neighbors.
If you talk about talent,
Malik Neighbors. Okay.
But kind of nobody else after that.
Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, he balled out.
He balled out. He's a 1,000-yard rusher, pretty much.
I mean, him and Jalen Warren are kind of the same.
No, they're not.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I would put the Giants running back situation above Pittsburgh. Jalen Warren's never been a bell cow in his entire life.
Well, this was the first time Tyrone Tracy had the opportunity.
Theo Johnson balls out, too. If you want, you could put, how about this? Put the Steelers 2.5, the Giants at 2.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
I was thinking at 2.5.
Okay.
I didn't know we were going half.
Coaching, head coach. He said he gave the Bucks a 3 because of Bruce Arians.
I think they're even. I think that it's 2-2 at this point. Giants and Steelers.
Okay. Would you do the same thing as well? You put Tomlin and
I think
I put Tomlin above. I would give Tomlin a 3, and Arian and Daboll a 2, just because of their status and ability to stick around.
Yeah, that makes more
sense.
Their
security.
Tomlin's living off reputation.
But you had to average do something coach, to average build coach that the
last,
reputation.
Yeah, but average coach the last 5 years.
But you don't know how long he's going to be. You don't know how long the Giants coach is going to be there. You just don't.
I guess if you go there,
you know he's going to stick around.
Yeah, I have them even. 2-2.
Okay, fine. Game day weather. They're both the same, right?
Yeah.
Practice weather. They're the same.
Same, yeah. I mean, okay. A little colder in Pittsburgh.
Financial compensation was on the list. Obviously, it wasn't at first. It probably wasn't even top 10. Didn't even rank as a 3 in importance.
I can't imagine Rodgers is getting more than $25 million a year, probably, right?
He doesn't list any of the other metrics in which he graded 1-3. So you would give the edge to Pittsburgh over the Giants based on this.
Just I like the wide receivers better.
TJ?
I agree with him on the wide receivers. Yeah. I can't speak of what Giants Nation is all about. I know they have a huge fan base, obviously.
Yeah,
they're really living there, but being from Pittsburgh and knowing, man, you win in Pittsburgh, you are put on a pedestal like none other. So if you want to take all of that into your thought process,
okay,
being a Pittsburgh, but then again, the Giants, they're legendary too, so...
I still give the Steelers the edge. I mean, there's one thing that he didn't put here, and I'm sure Brady had it on his list. He just didn't mention it here.
Division.
Chances to win a ring.
Yeah.
Because that's what Tom Brady's about. Mm-hmm. Chance to win a ring. That was the end of the story. New England was at the end of a run, and the Bucs were right there needing someone like him to just be added into the mix.
But that's the end of the story. What division is tougher, the NFC East or the AFC North?
Oh, great question.
Hmm. They're kind of even.
I think.
But the Giants are clearly fourth in that division.
That's the problem. That's why you're not going to. You're closer to winning a ring in Pittsburgh than you are in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on a magical run.
AFC being harder than the NFC, though. Does that cancel that out?
I don't know. You could say that, but the NFC proved to be toughest, don't you think?
That's true, but I just look at top-end quarterback talent, and it seems like it's a little deeper in the AFC.
I guess, unless you think Jalen Hurts is don't get Morris Chestnut started. Jalen Hurts is now elite, folks. This just in. And Jaden Daniels.
He's on his way.
Uh-huh. Right. Goff finished as an MVP candidate. Stafford is at the end of a career that is just killing it. I might be hunting and pecking for just pushback there. NFC East has got the two teams that finished in that lasted longest in the NFC last year. I don't know if you want a piece of that. When you can go to the AFC North, and I understand there's a two-time MVP sitting in Baltimore, and there's Joe Burrow, and then there's Cleveland, which is up in the air. Totally. I'd want to go to Pittsburgh. Again, another thing that's on Tom Brady's list that maybe in real life that wasn't here, revenge factor. I don't know how that played in because obviously – he knew Tampa was going to go to New England. I think it was in his
year two.
Year two, right?
Year two.
But the bottom line is, Rodgers gets to play against the NFC North.
Right.
And the AFC East. No brainer.
I mean, when you take that into consideration.
No brainer.
And you feel he's Richard the King Petty.
No brainer.
Then, yeah. That's right.
But then you're like, what's the holdup?
I don't know. He's just Rodgers.
Yeah.
All right. Pablo Torre has found out how to get here. He's in our green room.
I'm going to tell him how to get behind the airport.
Well, don't do that.
Just go straight down Imperial Highway.
It's thoroughly unnecessary in him saying, what's that all about? At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event going on right now, get deals so right it almost feels wrong. Perfect time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty, 3 years of 36,000 or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event that's going on right now is a must visit. So visit your local Honda dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Pablo Torre is in our green room. No more coming out here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, radio audience will rejoin shortly. But first of two times, I say hello to the man who brings you Pablo Torre Finds Out every single day, available on the Pablo Torre Finds Out YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcast, the award winner. In that regard, Pablo Torre, good to see you here, sir. Thank you for being here. A genuine honor.
I've been getting scouting reports on you guys from your friend David Sampson.
Okay.
My friend David Sampson, who is jealous of all of the things you do and the ways you do it.
Why would you be jealous? There's no reason to be jealous.
You've met David Sampson, though. You're familiar with hiring.
Now I'm familiar with what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
The ultimate compliment,
I appreciate you saying that. Now, but why are you in LA? What are you doing out here?
I'm finding stuff out, Rich. I'm finding stuff out.
My bad.
Not to sound like a CIA agent. No, right. I try to come out here once for like a good week, once a year.
Okay.
I'm just so many friends fled New York. I'm a New Yorker.
Okay.
And a lot of my friends went out here, and a lot of people that I just long to see.
Okay.
Refused to see me in New York. And so I got to come. The mountain goes to them, you know.
Where are you from originally then?
Born and raised in the city. In Manhattan. The city, that's how you know I was born in Manhattan. I say the city as if it's the only city.
Pablo, thank you.
No, don't drag him in.
I'm not dragging, he's just confirming everyone
Manhattan
around the
people
world knows.
Say the city, they mean Manhattan.
Yes.
When Staten Islanders say the city, we mean New York City, because Staten Island is part of it.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Pablo. Look, so I had to tell my daughter that there's this borough called Staten Island.
Oh my gosh.
And look, I man, Fresh Kills,
that's
Tony
exactly
Reale,
right.
Colin Jost, these are things that I grew up knowing and appreciating.
New Yorkers, truly. You named two people from Staten Island and a garbage dump. And by the way, the garbage dump is Fresh Kills. I was not referring to the two human beings as a garbage dump. Okay? Just want to be out there for everyone to know.
But you take a boat to school.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the ferry. Pablo Torre, by the way, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just rejoined. We can continue this conversation. Pablo Torre Finds Out is an award-winning podcast. By the way, we're both up for an Ambi
Award.
Hey. Yeah. The best sports podcast, this show and yours.
I forgot that I'm here to also assassinate you.
Boy, you take this seriously.
Rich.
Damn.
Awards. Man. Awards are... So I walk into your green room, and it's decorated with many, many trophies and medals and honorifics.
Okay.
And deserved, because you've built institution here.
I appreciate that.
And
thank you.
What I think about when I see awards like that, shiny Emmys and all sorts of things, is I am so trying to transcend external validation, in which I don't feel things when I see your trophy case.
Okay.
And yet I just want to assassinate you.
Well, you shouldn't feel anything seeing my trophy case. That Emmy Award, when you go back into the green room, you will see it's not as shiny as it once was, because it was from my first year on SportsCenter, 1996, and I haven't won another one since.
Well,
okay, I'm kind of like Dan Marino. I made the Super Bowl really early and then never made it back.
But you won that award while I was going through puberty learning about sports. And so that means something special to me, even if it doesn't
Stuart
to you.
Nye, is that what you're saying?
100%.
Okay.
100%. So again, surreal, fun, scary, also want to assassinate you. Yeah.
Third time he said that.
I know that.
I'm starting to worry now.
One more and I'm going to need a restraining order. I'm not going to lie. Wow, now I'm finding out. how did you get started?
I had a panic attack while taking the LSAT and realized I should probably do for a year the thing that I was doing for fun in college, which was writing about sports. Grew up a sports fan, of course. One of those kids with a tiny little notebook in which I wrote down all statistics for NBA players and collected baseball cards and all that stuff. But for me, there was a fork in the road where it was like, I'm a first generation American, family from the Philippines, came over to New York, and I was supposed to go do something that had stability and a predictable roadmap towards success.
Right.
And instead, I got into this business. You know,
what school were you going?
I went to Harvard.
You went to Harvard. Okay.
I went to Harvard.
The Michigan of the East.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Many are saying.
Okay. Sorry, Pablo.
That's where I went to high school with Colin Jost, college with Colin Jost.
Did you really?
Who, again, a great Staten Islander who sort of proved that you could do unconventional things despite having credentials that suggested you should be more reliable. But in all seriousness, I was a fact checker at Sports Illustrated from the bottom of the totem pole. And worked my way up through some strange and probably annoying at times, repetitive at times, attempts to pitch stories and work my way up. And then ESPN, after I covered Jeremy Lin, I mean, not because of that, but that was the timeline, was like...
Lin Sanity.
That was about me, Rich. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that at all. I'm finding out.
It was about an Asian American guy who went to Harvard, who grew up rooting for the Knicks, realizing that the sun in the solar system was suddenly a guy that put me on the cover of Sports Illustrated, me, as in my byline, 2 weeks in a row. And at some point, ESPN, the magazine, was like, who's that guy? Meaning, again, the byline. And wound up becoming, fast forward, speed running through all of this, a gas bag on television who realized... this is something that I really love doing.
Yeah, and thankfully your career is a bit more staying power than the man that you were covering for that brief
NBA champion Jeremy Lin.
NBA champion Jeremy Lin.
Canada's favorite son now, Jeremy Lin, winning with the Raptors. That's right.
I had an epiphany behind the wheel of my car on Father Capodanno Boulevard in Staten Island, New York City, and where I was covering the police beat as a fill-in cops reporter, and I didn't know all of the codes coming out of this walkie-talkie. I literally thought every code that was coming out was some sort of massive news story I was missing, and I wound up chasing an ambulance through two red lights, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I'm like, I'm literally an ambulance chaser right now. You cannot parse what I am right now. And I went back to school to Northwestern to start a career in TV. So I had an epiphany myself. You had yours over an LSAT piece of paper, or that might have been just the culmination of you thinking about it, huh?
The most inappropriate quotation of Pat Riley you will ever hear is me saying that when my LSAT score expired after 5 years and I was still at Sports Illustrated writing, doing what I loved, I burned the boats. That's what Riley says. Burn the boats, right? There's no way back. You've chosen your path.
Right.
You're now here to sort of do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And so when I say I had a panic attack at the LSAT, failure provided me with another path. And sticking with that path is honestly, as I think you clearly feel in the studio, the greatest gift I never hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And so into that became everything else that allowed me to, I mean, when I say I'm here to find out stuff, I professionally follow my curiosity. I use journalism to solve mysteries. I talk to people that I find interesting. It's on some level a job no one in my family, my ancestry was ever so audacious to design. Mm-hmm. And sports is my passport into that world.
So when you were a fact checker at Sports Illustrated, was there any Hall of Fame writer who you fact checked and saved them from being wrong that you can remember? Pablo?
Well, I'm not going to throw Peter King or Tom Verducci or Gary Smith or Scott Price or Rick Riley under the bus.
You missed
because
Riley, yeah.
They never made mistakes.
Good one.
The rule, it's kind of like working for the president, you know, like the president of the United States. It's like you take whatever you got.
Yeah.
You throw your body in front of that wrong statistic from 1979.
Before it could do any harm.
Before it does any harm to the reputations of the men involved. But I literally had to cross off every word. Again, it's so quaint to think about that now, Rich, in the era in which we live.
Yes.
In which no one does any of that. And if you work the cops beat.
Yes.
There's a grind to, there's a value to the mundane. Even if it feels, and that's, I would say the cop speed is not quite being a fact checker, but trying to get it right down in the underbelly of something. I had to cross off every word, every number, every statistic until it checked out.
Well, this now I found out that wrong fact in the Gary Stevens piece that William Knack wrote wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Mm.
So
we're putting Bill Knack on blast
Bill
today?
Bill Knack on blast. He's sitting there going, wait a minute. All right, that's so
Secretariat. He introduced America to the giant beating heart of Secretariat.
I went deep for a joke that didn't land. what have you found out that even surprised you the most in the short history of your award-winning Edward R. Murrow award-winning video pod?
Yeah. Right now? Thank you for citing him by name. You're I love welcome. To associate whenever possible with
Ed Murrow is a great journalist.
And now being played by George Clooney on Broadway.
Indeed.
And so
there you go.
I think there's some similarities between me and the people we just mentioned, clearly. I was in your green room listening to you talk about Tom Brady, and I know you're a giant Jets fan, mm-hmm. and I know it's draft season. Man, how Tom Brady got drafted by the Patriots is a story I spend months of my life investigating.
All right. I'm all ears if you want to boil it down.
Yeah. So you guys know what is on paper accurate, which is that it was the 199th pick,
mm-hmm.
sixth round. But Tom Brady was a compensatory pick. And the compensatory pick, Rich, is a black box that is so fascinating and, like lots of things in the world of science, covered in levels of arcane detail that are so indecipherable that people don't try to see inside. But the way comp picks work, the NFL League Office has a secret ranking every year of every player in the league according to value. So there's a secret fantasy football power ranking in real life that the league office maintains in which, depending on how good the player is, if they were to leave as a free agent and then succeed to some degree with their next team, you get a compensatory draft pick in return. Tom Brady was one of these guys. But the secret about Tom Brady is that the year that they acquired the comp pick for Tom Brady,
yeah.
there were three candidates for a comp pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that you don't know the paternity because it's a secret list.
So I was going to ask, did you dive in there and found out who the player was that was significant enough for Brady to materialize because the Patriots received the pick?
And insignificant enough because mm-hmm. it was 199.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I confirmed this with the league office itself. The mm-hmm. NFL confirmed it. I confirmed it through a voice-modulated NFL executive who explained how all of this stuff worked.
Come
deep
on.
Throat. Oh, we
come
went deep throat on this, Chris.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come
Rich,
on. Come on.
Chris, you just got to know.
I remember this episode. It was awesome.
It's just we take stupid things seriously and serious things stupidly.
Sure.
And so you may or may not be hardened to learn that on levels that blew my mind— your New York Jets are entirely responsible for why Tom Brady even got picked by the Patriots.
More than Mo Lewis blowing up the innards of Drew Bledsoe to first place Tom Brady on a field?
There are levels to this story that I could not have scripted, and it all redounds, and I will do a brief spoiler alert here, to a gentleman named Tom Tupa.
The punter slash quarterback from The Ohio State University.
The man who first ever scored a two-point conversion with Cleveland for Bill Belichick, who, you may recall, went on to work for your Jets, who recruited at every stop Tom Tupa, who then, in signing Tom Tupa to the Jets, to the Patriots, I mean, I don't want to spend all day reliving the episode.
Please go ahead.
But in ways that cannot be scripted, Tom, remember when Tom Tupa came in relief as quarterback for your Jets? A kind of obscure thing in the year before Bill Belichick was named coach and then departed.
Was that the year that Vinny blew out his Achilles?
Yes, in relief of Vinny Testaverde, in came Tom Tupa.
I remember that.
That game, it's one of those stories where the performance on the field, as well as the decision to let him go and then get re-signed by Bill Belichick later, at every stop, ended up resulting in the pick that became Tom Brady. So it's just funny, man. I look, a long wind up to say, you did it to yourself.
I know.
Cosmically, it's just perfect because it's the universe sometimes winks at you. In the story of Tom Tupa becoming Tom Brady, yes, it's just laughing in your face.
Yep.
That's a shame.
I know that. and let's put it this way. Without Tom Tupa, they wouldn't have Brian Hoyer, who I think took over the Tupa role of going wherever Belichick was, which is New England, pretty much.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the subject matter that can you say what you're out here finding out, or you like... You like holding off on previewing what you're finding out?
So I would say that there is a mixture of serious out here where I don't want to say what it is because I'm investigating things that are hopefully going to materialize.
Sure.
But there's also great fun. One of the stories that I want to reference here, though, just because I think it's useful for people who are familiar with the pain and trauma of New York sports. You guys know the legend of the LeBron James Knicks recruitment video?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, with the Carmella and Tony Soprano?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So the Knicks, when they're recruiting LeBron, the summer of the decision, they have to figure out, how are we going to recruit this guy? And they make the equivalent of a super sweet 16 video. Mm-hmm. Like, here are all the celebrities saying hi to you. A bar mitzvah video in more common parlance.
I appreciate you translating for me.
As a New Yorker, this is Jim Dolan making a gift for LeBron by summoning every friend he has. And this had been a rumor and a myth because no one had ever seen the video. And we found the video. And I don't think I'm allowed into the garden. I think I should be afraid, frankly, of how the people involved may feel about us finding the video. But the beginning of the video, to Chris's point there, involves the last known scene of James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano after The Sopranos ended with Edie Falco. And they are in a room in an apartment, and they are at a laptop acting as their characters. So, by the way, end of The Sopranos, guess what? They lived. The Sopranos subreddit was so... They cared about this episode more than anybody else did.
No doubt. I know.
But they're looking for an apartment for their friend LeBron, and they pull up a website, and guess what? It's the Garden, and into this launches a parade of friends. And just, again, I don't want to just do my whole, like, episode karaoke thing for you, because I love these things like they're my kids.
I love it.
But the first face you see is Donald Trump.
In this video.
That's who James Dolan got to recruit LeBron James, first face. And it proceeds from there, Rich. It proceeds from there. And it's hilarious. Spoiler alert. Like, it's really funny. And the names somehow get more absurd. And we found also that they made, in the way that you do, They made alternate videos that are exactly the same for Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And so we have the alts. So you'll hear James Gandolfini and Edie Falco say, "For your friend Chris, for your friend Dwayne."
Oh,
you see how they make it behind the scenes?
Now, is that tampering?
Well,
because I'm sure, I don't know if it was Wade and Bosch available to be poached?
Wade was
By the Sopranos?
Right?
No way.
I think.
And if the Knicks were making this video, isn't that, I mean, and if you're Mickey Arison or you're Riley, really, you're what the hell? You know, I mean, is it tampering if you're using fake characters who are really actually your season ticket holders?
May or may not be dead.
Yeah, well,
in the terms of
spoiler
alert.
Is it tampering to get Chris Rock to custom make personalized messages for Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, which we also have in this video?
Did James Dolan invent Cameo?
No.
Honestly?
Well, yada, yada, yada. It didn't work. Did you ever find out what LeBron thought of this video?
We reached out to him. There was no comment. But I
imagine so.
But his camp, I will say this generally, when they saw that I'd published the episode,
yes,
one person with LeBron said,
right,
thank God someone else can confirm what we saw in that room. I mean, they all, imagine it.
Press play. LeBron, sit down. Did we find out where it was shown for him?
Oh, yeah. So LeBron, during all of this, again, the mountain goes to him.
Of course.
And so everybody comes in, SUV after SUV, and it's the Clippers, it's the Heat, it's the Knicks, and it's the... So imagine, it's not merely the Knicks doing this in a vacuum. It's the Knicks doing this in succession of all of these teams who have their own different proposals. And they do press play. And it's... everybody on LeBron's team, everybody with the Knicks in a room together watching what they thought is going to seal the deal.
Gold.
And what LeBron thought, to put it plainly and not a quote, but just my translation, I cannot possibly sign with this team. Which is, by the way, a heartbreaker because, again, grew up a Knicks fan. We really did think for a lot of the summer, why wouldn't he come to New York? It's New York. And now we have what I found out was part of the answer, I think.
Wow. Pablo Torre finds out. Check it out on the Pablo Torre Finds Out YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcast. So if you've pissed off the Knicks, I think you, me, Charles Oakley, go to a game together and see what happens.
I would love to get thrown out of an institution with you.
And we have to figure out which one of us is the one that, I mean, I think Oakley would be the one that's most provocative, I imagine.
I think we might need to get like a giant trench coat and sit on each other's shoulders. And put put like Howard Eisley on the top or something, you know?
Howard Eisley. Great call.
Good one.
Great call. Yeah. Reggie Miller. Me, you, Reggie, Oakley. Let's go to a Knicks game together. I don't know how to make it work, but let's find out. Well, that'd be great to find that out.
We'd probably get apprehended within 4 seconds.
Dude.
What tier are you on the facial recognition?
I don't know. Where would he be?
Both you guys.
Man.
Well, it's been years since I bitched about Dolan. But
I don't think the AI he uses forgets, though. I think. can I tell you something wild that I learned about Dolan?
You want to stick around for another segment? You want to do that?
I would love to turn that into a possibly libelous tease. Yes.
Those are my favorite teases.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's with limited time savings on the supplies pros need. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, save an additional $100 on every $1,000 you spend on select major appliances. And don't miss your chance to activate and earn 3 times the points on select DeWalt and Klein tools. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 3/28. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see associate or Lowe's.com for more details on qualifying items.
Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, Pablo Torre is still hanging here with us. Radio audience comes back in a minute. I kind of feel like if you're, you know, do we want to tell that Dolan story that you want to go on the break?
Yeah, I don't know if we should.
All right, I forgot.
Honestly, I don't know if we should.
For future pods.
I'll hint at it.
Okay.
To protect you guys and also myself, I guess.
Yes.
So the NBA Board of Governors is one of my favorite things in the world. So this is the owners' meeting.
Yes.
And inside of that room, you get this collection. When I mentioned the word succession before, it's all of this I see as like kind of like a prestige comedy series.
Mm-hmm.
It's wildly wealthy people. And my favorite part about sports business is that these are people who have everything, but cannot buy the thing they want the most.
That is correct, which is a championship in this sport that they have invested a ton of money in.
100%. And so it's a place where everybody feels a fragility of confidence that they don't feel outside of the room.
Maybe that's why they do it. Oligarchy meets meritocracy. That's basically what it is, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you have all of these people who, measured against their peers, feel an insecurity and resentment. And so in that way, it is politics. In that way, it is it's a place I wish one day they would allow a camera.
Oh, please. I've been in an owner's meeting and we did have a camera. They allowed the NFL Network in an owner's meeting when we first launched, and we called it NFL C-SPAN. And we would have conversations about, not about finances, but we had cameras capture the argument pro and con for instant replay.
Yes.
That instant replay was made permanent, and it was fascinating. Fascinating, but there's no cameras in there anymore.
No, and I get why, obviously, because who wants to see, you know, Michael Jordan at one end of the table?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I would say
Jim Dolan at the other end. Except what I can, I guess, semi reveal here is that Jim Dolan doesn't go to these meetings anymore. And what he does is he sends an emissary in his place, who I will simply say does not make life easy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For the rest, because guess what his job is?
To object and to abstain.
Object.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the Raiders. Honestly, but except Al Davis would go, and it would be at the same seat. And it is, I don't know if it's been, I haven't been in an owner's meeting room in years. Used to be an E, it's like a shape of an E,
yeah,
where the NFL executives would sit on the long side of the E, and the prongs would be all NFL owners. And Davis sat on one end of the E every year. It's a same seat policy. The Giants and the Steelers sit next to each other because the Rooneys and the Maras are all tight.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short is Al would basically go there and abstain. He would just, he and the Bengals abstained on making replay permanent. And just like, okay, is that your point? But that's what he would do.
It's perfect though. It's perfect. Exactly right. So certainly like the biggest sports have a version of this.
Succession.
But it's funny. It's so funny. It's so funny to think about how these guys are trying to prove that they're the alpha in a room full of people who all think the same thing.
Well, I mean, you know, they all measure what they think is longest, and that's just, but it's a meritocracy at the end. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show radio desk, sitting on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, the desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And the few minutes we have left, Pablo Torre, do you have any thoughts on Juju Watkins going down here in Los Angeles last night? Your thoughts on that?
I was already mad that we weren't going to get Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins in a Final Four based on the bracket. I am bummed by this. I got to know her dad, Bobby, over the summer. I've been fascinated by her as who replaces Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Who replaces the irreplaceable? And Juju Watkins was my one seed in that regard. So, as a sports fan, bummed we're not going to get her. But But the second thing I think about is the transformation of the sport of women's basketball. And I know you guys know this because you're out here geographically. It's not a cause anymore. What do I mean by that? It's a business.
Damn straight.
It's a real business. And ratings up in the college game after Caitlin Clark is gone. The Unrivaled League popping up to take the place that Russia and Turkey used to take in the offseason for WNBA players. The WNBA now, of course, having its own ratings boom with Caitlin, but broader than that as well, negotiating their own rights deal that's going to take us into lots of rooms where very rich people will elbow each other mm-hmm. over what to do. It's one of the most profound transformations I never imagined, frankly, mm-hmm. that you would go from a thing of, you guys should watch this. It's, I think, useful for you to know that good sports are happening beyond sort of the watchful eye of mainstream attention, to now you're late if you haven't invested in this thing.
And that may be part of, again, the big bummer about Juju Watkins is this machine is built.
Yes.
You know, we could say, again, it's still building, but... And so now it's ready for stars like Juju to be plugged into and make cash physically and emotionally and spiritually and literally and figuratively. And she's just been taken away by the basketball ACL gods. It's awful.
We see this in the men's game, by the way. Mm-hmm. The tournament really does matter as much as now everyone's an influencer. Everyone has an audience. You can get and go direct.
Right.
The TV show at which America gathers in a way that we don't at any other trough of American life. Not music, certainly not politics, mm-hmm. but it's sports, the biggest tent available. And so you can't replicate the marketing, the platform of the tournament, of a playoff. And so it's meaningful when you miss introducing Juju Watkins to America in the way that, what happened to G League Ignite, Rich? These other professional minor league systems meant to take away NBA prospects out of the NCAA pipeline. The NCAA, we could talk for days and years, and we might, for just how they are a problem. But man, the TV show they make can't replace that.
Bob Lotori here on the program, still here on Roku. Our radio audience just went away. And that's, yeah. You know, you could say again that with all due respect to the other teams, and schools out there, Elite Eight against Paige Beckers, Final Four against UCLA one more time for a fourth time this year. And then if they advanced against, you know, South Carolina, Notre Dame, Texas, right? Gone. Just like that. Or USC can do it without her and we can see that go. Or any of the other schools, LSU didn't even mention, could knock off UCLA before facing USC again. Just seeing all that and the fact that she's been removed, it's just not right, man.
Not right. The characters, again, it's right. I'm in LA talking about television a lot as the metaphor for everything.
Sure.
The development of the Juju Watkins character is now postponed, and as a sports fan and a TV fan, mm-hmm. hate that.
I'm with you. Okay, so hanging out here in Los Angeles, then you go back to New York City.
Yeah,
my hometown. You know, so
Ohio, what kind of man?
By the
way, I know that you take a boat to school if you go to Stuyvesant, you know, if you do that sort of thing. You know, I got in and I decided not to go.
Well, the two of us
I stayed in my public school, my little public school, Susan E. Wagner High School in Staten Island, New York. Okay, fine. But now, if I'm not mistaken, one of the boats that you refer to that potentially I could have taken to school, if I'm not mistaken, Colin Jost has bought and turned into a club, right? With true. Pete Davidson, did Seth Meyers in on that too, even though he's not a Staten Islander?
It's certainly Pete and Colin and a crew of investors. And also, I am told reliably by sources close to the situation,
yes,
about 20,000 rats.
Oh, on the ship?
Like literal rats, just like living inside of.
Listen.
Shockingly, the ferry is.
Yeah,
you know,
man, it wasn't the love boat, pal.
No.
I tried. Actually, my prom date vomited off the side of one. Try to make it a love boat.
The tall boys you could
He's
get.
He's now finding out.
The tall boys you could get on the ferry.
Oh,
by
my
the way,
God.
When Rich Eisen says he got into Stuyvesant and didn't go.
That's a flex.
It's a flex.
Yeah. Bronx School of Science, too.
Oh, yeah. By the way.
Oh, look at you.
In that way, yes. Rich, you and I are not so different.
How so?
We both decided not to go to Stuyvesant.
And look at us.
Look at
Who
would have thunk it?
Yeah, but you would have just taken a train ride. I would have to take a boat. It's called a ferry, sir. This guy. Mr. Manhattan over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Finding Out. Yeah. Maybe you should find out it's called a ferry.
Closer to New Jersey.
You're right.
Good to see you, man.
Beautiful orange ferry.
Thanks for coming here, Pablo.
It was really my
Anytime,
pleasure.
Come back.
My pleasure.
Pablo Torre's Finding Out. Xander Schauffele is next.